Hello, and welcome to another Let's Make. My name is Crash, and in this series, I make something for one of my upcoming TTRPG games. In this case, I am making a bunch of pre-mades using the new Cypher character rulebook that came out for backers last month, I want to say. Yeah, I believe it was last month. And for, at the time I'm recording this at least, but for everyone else, it's coming out in August, which would be next month as the time of recording this. If I sound just a little bit out of it, it's because it's been about 12 hours since my air conditioner stopped working. So that's nice. There are people who are going to be working their best to take care of that. But I am glad that my setup is such that you probably cannot hear the fans that are blowing right now. I just don't have them blow directly on the microphone. Now, what we are going to be doing today, as you can see in the art here, we are going to be making a cat bard. I am going through all the fantasy dungeon types that exist in Cypher for this new version, because before there were only four types. There was warrior, explorer, speaker, and adept, and that was it for all genres. And some of those, you had to shoehorn them just a little bit to make them make sense. Adept is very magic-y, and you can work that to make it be in a mundane setting where you say, oh, they didn't do magic here. They used such and such a device, or they used this medication, or they cast gun instead of onslaught, or you get the idea. However, Cypher 2 takes care of a lot of this. So we are going to press a button here like so, and now we are in Obsidian. And I am going to take this core template here. I'm going to make a copy of it. And this is episode 19. So I'm going to call it PC 19 Cat Bard. And I take all of these that I make and I put them up online. And you can download them using a link that's in the notes from wherever you get this, if you're getting this from a location where I'm the one who uploaded it. If that's not the case, you should probably go to aaronbsmith.com so you can get links to where it's uploaded, because there won't be any ads there. And I don't trust people who are just taking this and putting it somewhere else as is. All right, I got to do one more thing for the cat bard, and that is add the cat bard art. So is it this one? Yeah. So you might say, wow, that looks like a specific cartoon character from back in the day, and I'll say, why, yes, I do recognize that influence. However, this was a mashup. If you're looking at the art over on the right-hand side, that art is a mashup of three different public domain images. And the one right here is two different public domain images. The tail I had to get from somewhere else because the cat that had these ears didn't have a tail that I thought would work well for this image. But with that said, this art is public domain. It is legally distinct from any copyrighted material you might be thinking it relates to. And that's uploaded right now, at the time of this recording, over at openclipart.org. They've been having some server issues. They've been getting pretty hard, I'm assuming, by a lot of things, but predominantly AI scrapers, because if it's public domain, the AI scrapers don't get legally in trouble for stealing it all. But in this particular case, this art is also going to be included in that link that I talked about earlier. So I can close this sidebar here. And now we are going to be creating our cat bard character. Now, taking a look at what we've got here, I think I'm going to go straight across the board again. So the core character, you start with stats of might 8, speed 8, and intellect 8, and then you can take 6 points and spread them evenly. I'm going to take those. Well, you get 6 points to spread wherever you want. You can be as uneven as you want, but I am going to spread them evenly for this particular character. Actually, no. I am going to have the might stay at 8, and I'm going to have intellect and speed both be 11. So 0, 3, and 3, as opposed to 2, 2, and 2. And with that done, I get rid of this note that I put there for future me, because I am future me. There we go. And let's go to our handy dandy flow chart, which is on page 14 of the new rule book, if you're following along at home, or page 16, if you are looking at the PDF file, at least the version that was submitted, well, was provided to BackerKit backers. There might be changes between now and when the official version comes out next month. I'm looking forward to seeing it. So going through this, we also picked two skills. So let's take a look at our fantasy skills. Now, I know that there's going to be some stuff that we get from being a bard that's going to be really cool. So I hesitate to pick more performative ones. Let's just peek ahead. Let's just casually peek ahead to what the bard gets, just to see if they get anything specific about performance. They get some abilities. Ah, you are trained in your choice of charm, deception, or intimidation. So that is a thing that we get starting out. So having peeked ahead, let's take a look at these things, because if I am getting, let's go back again, my choice of charm or deception or intimidation, then I could get one of those now and then get the other one as I turn this character that's currently a core character into a bard character. So I like that. So looking through performance, why would we not be trained in performance? Performance trained. And next up, we are going to go with, it's either history or gathering information. Let's go with history, because bards are the teller of stories and keeper of history in this case. There we go. Right. So we have our skills picked. Now we move on to the next part of this where we actually, no, I could pick a third. I could pick a third because I was hemming and hawing about gathering information or history. So the question is there one here that I would give myself a hindrance in? That's the question. Technically, the term is inability, but you know what I mean. So I like the idea that they perform, and they perform so well that there's like more mundane things that they're just really bad at because of that. And looking through these, farming. There we go. They were raised on a farm maybe, and they just were really bad at it. Farming inability, and that means I can give them trained in gathering information. And charm is going to come up in a little bit. So there we go. And now, on to the type and all the things that type gives us. So we move over to this next thing. Behind the scenes, I have the PDF of the new rulebook open in multiple browser tabs. And in each browser tab, I scrolled down to the relevant part that I want to go to, so I'm not spending time searching for it. I did spend time searching for it before I pressed the record button. So, bard abilities. Able to take two more minor wounds and one more moderate wound. So I could take up to 5 minor and 4 moderate. I'm not a tank, but the bard shouldn't be the tank. The bard should be in the back playing a cool song, right? We're adding 1 to might. That takes me up to 9. 1 to speed takes me up to 12, and 2 to intellect takes me up to 13. And +1 edge to a pool of your choice, well, you know it's going to be an intellect. Freely use light and medium weapons, and freely use light armor. Again, not a tank. So we are going to paste this in and fix our line break formatting, because that's always a problem. There we go. Gain 1 weapon of your choice, or, if you've been following this series any length of time, you know I'm going to do, accept the bard equipment bundle. All right. So we are going to copy paste this into our equipment. And I realize I skipped over background, so I'm going to have to go back and take care of that. A rapier, a gittern, which is a musical instrument also known as a guitar. Oh, that's convenient. I didn't even look at this before I selected the character art of a girl with a guitar. So, you know, that works out. Was not the only art I was looking at for this. There were a few other people holding guitars. There was one person with a trumpet, but never mind about that. So, Get turn and pick a shield, a backpack, a bedroll, 50 feet of rope, a stage makeup kit. Oh, maybe I should have picked disguise. 3 torches, 3 days of rations and water, a tinderbox, so no matches for this character, and enough extra currency to buy a moderately priced item. There we go. I was afraid that was going to happen. Well, not afraid, but I thought I was going to have to homebrew a different instrument to match the character art, but we're good. We are perfectly fine. Let's scroll up and take a look at our background options, shall we? You spent years as a wandering minstrel collecting epic tales, but some still elude you. That would fit with the history skill. Your younger sibling asked to apprentice with you last week. That would be hilarious. You were a court entertainer and courtier until a jealous noble slandered you. Okay. The theater your uncle runs was struck and destroyed by a falling star last month. Or maybe by a cleric casting Wall of Fire twice, but that's an in-joke. You wrote a song to galvanize the rebellion, but now the king's assassins hunt you. Funny how that works. You've been getting gigs at an inn right outside the palace walls for almost a year. You received a rare book of poems as a gift from your lover, but it was stolen last week. Your instrument broke. You've been using a shoddy replacement since then. Oh. There's some give and take for all of these. There's no one that stands out where I go, yes, that is definitely the background for this character. I kind of want to do the sibling one, but the thing is, if I'm making all these as pre-mades for a possible future campaign, I need to make the sister or the younger sibling in general. If I do that, then I'm making another catkin. If I'm making another catkin character, then I'm not doing one of each. So let's go with the instrument one. It's on its face. It doesn't sound particularly interesting, but there are plenty of ways that a good GM can make that be very interesting. Heck, there's plenty of ways that a player can make that be very interesting. And then the GM goes, yeah, that's canon now. Right. So we have done the background. Now there's stuff in here about tier 3 and tier 6, but we're making a tier 1 character, so we're not going to worry about that. And at tier 1, we gain the following abilities. So we are going to select and copy these. And there's no sidebar here, so I'm not going to do the mistake I did previously, where I am copy-pasting the sidebar as well, and then wondering what the heck I did. So, expert interlocutor. Let's make that be bold. And then inspiring performance. Make that be bold as well. And the last one is a smile and a word. Bold you. Paste that formatting. And then I'm going to clean this up as I'm reading through these. But expert interlocutor, you are trained in your choice of charm, deception, or intimidation. We are going to go with charm. At tier 6, you can become an expert in that same skill if you are already specialized. But you must gain the skill normally, such as from a character advancement. So now we're going to go back up here and add charm trained. There we go. Now, inspiring performance, which costs 2 intellect, but I've got an edge and 1 in that, so that's going to cost 1 less. With a rousing speech or inspiring music, you lift the spirits of and inspire 3 allies who can hear and see you. While you continue to speak or perform each round as your action, affected allies gain an asset in a task you choose, combat or non-combat, related to your performance. And this next part is a new paragraph. Even after the effect ends, affected allies are so inspired that they add +1 to their next recovery. Nice. And if we spend effort, we affect 3 additional allies. That's an action. And at tier 3, affected allies add +2 to their next recovery. Very cool. All right. And the third ability, a smile and a word. This doesn't cost anything, but it is an action. Okay. When you successfully interact with a creature by succeeding on a charm, deception, or intimidation task. Oh, I might want to redo my skills. Even those having to do with calming animals or communicating with someone or something whose language you do not speak, You also learn one small useful or at least interesting bit of information. For instance, if you convince the guard to let you pass, you might also learn that their supervisor is due back in 10 minutes. And that's an action. Oh, I did the thing again. There we go. Nice. So actually, I'm not going to redo the skills because in my group, and I'm making these with my home group in mind, they are more likely to use charm than intimidation. Deception might be a thing, though. Someone might pick this character and use deception. I'm going to replace gathering information with deception. There. So now there's two different ways that they can use smile and a word. So we're just going to have that be like that, and that's going to be fine. Now, let's scroll up here because I forgot to add their type. They are a bard. And now we are moving on to their descriptor. I have a list of fantasy descriptors here. Let's take a look. Appealing, kind of on the nose. Bookish, brash, calm, cautious, chaotic. Charming. Charming would actually... We're going to change that charm. Not charm. Deception. Back to gathering information, because here's the thing. Charming gives us deception. So we are going to be a charming bard. And that gives us +2 to our intellect, which brings it up to 15. And we are trained in charm or deception. So we are going to add deception. We are not charmed in deception. We are trained in deception. There we go. You are a smooth talker and a charmer. Well, that's redundant, but because charming and you're a charmer. Okay. Whether through seemingly supernatural means or just a way with words, you can convince others to do what you wish. Most likely, you're physically attractive, or at least highly charismatic, and others enjoy listening to your voice. You probably pay attention to your appearance, keeping yourself well-groomed. Cat, of course. You make friends easily. You play up the personality facet of your intellect stat. Intelligence is not your strong suit. You're personable. We don't have to agree 100% with what charming means here. If they want to play up that they are, in fact, very intelligent, that can still work. Right. So we have our descriptor in place, and now we are going to go to our foci. And again, I have a list of recommended Dungeon Fantasy foci. Abides in stone, blazes with fire, casts spells. Commands mental powers, consorts with dead, controls beasts, crafts illusions. Oh, that works great with Bard. That could work very well with Bard. Doesn't do much. We've already done that one. Entertains. That's kind of on the nose. Let's take a look at entertains. Let's take a quick look at entertains to see. And that link is broken. I cannot use that link. That took me somewhere else entirely in this PDF file. Oh, yeah, I love that. Give me a second here. Okay, so for you following along at home, if you have the same version that I have of the rules, the links to the foci in Dungeon Fantasy are broken. But if you go to the focus section, those links work. So I'm looking at entertains, and it has one of my favorite abilities, Anecdote. I love that ability. It's become a running gag in multiple campaigns, not just ones that are Cypher. And it's basically inspiring performance with a different name. Anecdote you get from, possibly you get from being an entertainer, but you pick two of the three that it gives you at tier one. So I'm just not going to pick anecdote because I already have that. Entertains is still 100% on the nose for this character. So they entertain, and I am going to copy paste inspiring suggestion and knowing the audience, because I don't have those. And they are good for bards. Right, so, inspiring suggestion to intellect. When you make a helpful suggestion to an ally, they have a better chance of succeeding at what they're doing. Wait a minute. That's just anecdote again. Except it's a once and done thing. So, you know what? No, we're not going to pick entertainer. We're not going to pick entertains. We are going to get rid of this. I thought they got rid of all the duplicates, but I just found, well, the overlapping things can happen, and they just say don't do the overlapping things. But they gave two in tier one, where one is the obviously better one, and you would never pick the other one. And I already have the obviously better one. So let's go back to our list. I kind of like Craft's Illusions. What else do we have? Explores, Fights Dirty, Fights Unarmed, Fights with Panache, Howls at the Moon, Hunts. I kind of like the idea of Fights with Panache because you're being all fancy with your fighting style and you're a bard, so even your fights are a performance. Infiltrates, Leads, Masters Telekinesis, Masters Weaponry, Moves Like the Wind, Never Says Die, Performs Feats of Strength, Quells Evil, Refuses Supernatural Force, I could make them be a bard Jedi, Rides the Lightning, Sneaks Through the Shadows, Speaks for the Land, Strikes with Mystic Might, Tends to the Wounded, I think I already picked that one previously, Wears a Sheen of Ice. Having looked through those lists, Craft's Illusions is probably the best one. So let's go to Craft's Illusions and see what we've got here. You fashion images from light that are so perfect they seem real. GM intrusions, the illusion isn't believable. The illusion is perceived as at just the wrong moment. So that's our GM intrusion. We're going to put that in there. And we get three different things here. And I know one of these I'm definitely going to pick. Hedge magic. Hedge magic is the prestidigitation and mending of Cypher. And it is glorious. I highly recommend getting that every single time you have it available to you in character creation. Give them Hedge Magic. It is a utility ability that you end up really missing out on if you don't have it, just like Prestidigitation. But this also does mending, which is great. So you can perform small tricks, temporarily change the color or basic appearance of a small object, cause small objects to float through the air, clean a small area, mend a broken object, prepare but not create food, and so on. You can't use Hedge Magic to harm another creature or object, but that's okay because that's not why we're getting Hedge Magic. We're getting Hedge Magic for all the non-combat stuff that's awesome. And now that gives us two more abilities. We got to pick one of them. Minor Illusion or Sense Magic. So taking a look at this, Minor Illusion, you create a single image of a creature or object within immediate range. The image must fit within an immediate area. The image can move. For example, you can make the illusion of a person walk or attack, but it can't leave the area. The illusion includes sound but not smell. It lasts until you use a 10-minute or longer recovery, but if you want to change the original illusion significantly, such as making a creature appear to be wounded, you must use an action to concentrate on it again. If you move out of range, the illusion vanishes. Instead of a realistic illusion, you can create a confusing pattern of images around a creature within short range. As long as you use your action to change this pattern, you hinder the creature's attacks and defenses. I'd rather be using my action in a party to do an inspiring performance, because if I am helping all of them, and there's multiple targets, that's going to be a better situation. Even if there's one target, it just ends up being the same. Except that costs 2 intellect. But before I get to tier 2, I can turn that into a free ability. Minor Illusion starts as a free ability, but it's single target. However, it would fit with the bard because I'm performing and, oh, hey, you're hearing about Ethelred the Unready or whoever. Well, here's what I think he looked like. And I could be very wrong, but I'm creating a visual for them with my music. That could be cool in a non-combat-y way. But there's also Sense Magic, which is still 1 intellect. If there is magic of any kind at work within a short range, you are aware of that fact, but not the specifics. And it's a last action. I have a feeling that is the better pick. And here's my reasoning, because I can already do some small illusions with hedge magic. So I'm not going to be making a full-size illusion of a character or a monster or whatever for an audience to see. But this is where I'm going away from. I am making the character to fit their backstory, and I am making a character that's going to be useful in the game. And there could still be RP reasons for sense magic and why it's caused problems for them. But there we go. What was our backstory again? Background. Instrument broke. Okay. Yeah, that's going to be okay. Now, we are up to the last thing, which is not on here. It kind of is, because I picked one descriptor, but I do the optional rule of having a descriptor and a species. And if you pick human, you basically just pick another ability off the list. So It's not useless to pick human, but still. And as I have said before, I am working on a homebrew list. Let me drag this over here. Of species that exist in my Cog World campaign. And I'm going to use these in other campaigns too, I am sure. A lot of these are animal characters. So anthropomorphized. In this case, it's a cat. And rather than have, oh, here's the stats for a cat person. Here's the stats for a dog person. Here's the stats for a lion person, etc. I am generalizing them. So all avian animal people would use the avian kin write-up that I did previously. Although that one, I didn't write it up because that one, there already was one in the rule book that fit perfectly. That's not always the case. It's usually not the case. In this case, we are making a prowler. So I'm going to pause the recording and write up something for the prowler. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about my choices. And we're back. So let's take a look at this. So kin prowler. So this could be cat kin, but also weasel kin, snake kin, panther kin. Yeah, any animal that does stealth hunting, this could technically work with. Your naturally sleek build mirrors. Oh, that's the wrong thing. Mirrors is not an apostrophe. Mirrors your distant cousins, there's the apostrophe, proclivity towards stealth, speed, and ambush. You yourself may try to fight these tendencies or lean into them, but either way, your instincts and reflexes yearn to be used. You may also want to bask in that sunbeam over there. Right, and we get three things because how species are done in the new cipher, each species gets three things for being that particular species. In this case, I am going similar to, but different from, how a lot of the species will avoid a GM intrusion if they roll a one on, in some cases, it's stealth tasks. And I almost did that. But there's also if you roll a one on a dodge roll, or if you roll a one on a block roll, so defensive type stuff. One could argue stealth is frequently defensive as well. But if a prowler is built for stealth and attacking, they're not going to have a ton of defensive capabilities. They're built for, you don't see me, and now you're dead. So no GM intrusion if you roll a one on a speed-based attack roll. Which, is that balanced? It might be. It's similar wording, but we're doing attack, not defense. And everything here is geared towards the whole idea of they are an ambush predator. You are trained in stealth, of course. There are other species where the species nature gives that character's training and a skill. So this works. And more than one species gives one damage in a specific thing. For example, halflings get plus one damage for light thrown weapons. Hellborn get plus one damage for unarmed attacks. They are on fire. So, you know, that makes sense. In this case, you inflict plus one damage. Now, I went a little bit beyond because I gave two different ones where they can get damage bonuses, but with a modifier saying only in these situations. So you inflict plus one damage with light, melee, or unarmed attacks. So one or the other. Unarmed attacks is technically light weapons, but still, it's good to clarify. If your target could not see you that turn, so you're attacking from a stealth position. Now, if someone's got some type of cipher that makes them be invisible even when they're attacking, this could be fun. You might say, well, a prowler is going to be perfect for a rogue. Why didn't you make this be a rogue? I'm not making these to min-max the classes and characters that I'm making. I am creating these to help build the world that I'm working with in my current campaign setting. So not everything's going to be about picking the absolute best ability to min-max the character. The bard might be spending all their time hanging out at the back playing their instrument. They might never get to use some of these abilities. That's okay for that particular character. But we are going to write catkin, and we are going to put here kin, comma, prowler. I only have one more kin on my shortlist to ride up, and that's going to be the burrower. That might be my next video, And after that, I have my elementals, which are kind of sort of going to be like the Genasi from Dungeons and Dragons. Kind of, sort of. I'm still wrapping my head around how I want to do that, because the concern I have is the fire touch, the way things are set up, not exactly the same as Hellborn. Because Hellborn get training in magic lore. And I'm not going to give magic lore to fire touch, because what if you end up using this in a setting that doesn't have magic? Well, that would be weird. There's also a sci-fi species that would fit pretty well with ice touched, sort of. Let me look that up real quick while I'm talking about it. Basically, in the sci-fi setting, a lot of the species are legally distinct versions of species from popular science fiction shows or stories. I mean, granted, there's cyborg in there, so you can have cyborgs in a lot of different things, and that can work. But you have the Danek, which are 4-foot-tall humanoids with glowing eyes and a proclivity towards messing with technology. They're Jawas. They're just Jawas. There's Drakkane, which stat-wise, they're the same as orcs in fantasy setting, but they're Klingons. They are legally distinct Klingons. However, if you ignoring those, because that's not what I'm trying to talk about right now. I'm saying this as I'm trying to find them. I'm talking and searching at the same time. That's usually, by the way, a bad idea. But I haven't stopped, which can be a problem. So Nardon, Mutants, Protoa, Stellans. Stellans are legally distinct Vulcans, or Stellans, rather. Regellians are 7 foot tall. They're Wookiees. Zhentari, there we go. Zhentari reduce the severity of wounds received from cold by one step. So that could fit with ice touched. Training of perception and plus one damage with ranged energy weapons. So again, not a perfect match. So I can do something with these. Matter of fact, I have to do something with those if I want to include them, because I can't just take the Zhentari and use them for ice touched. That's not going to work, because I'm not going to just say, oh yes, every setting has energy weapons. Naturally, they do. Okay, tasers exist in the modern setting, but never mind. Right, so, friends, thanks for hanging out with me while I make this stuff. Everything that I worked on today, if it's not public domain, or, which the art is public domain, or owned by Monica Games, which the rules are owned by Monica Games, so the stuff that was made by me, is under a Filthy Human Hands license. More information on that can be found at whirling.top/FHH. Oh, I forgot. I got to name this character. I'm going to name her. Well, this is a legally distinct Josie and the Pussycats character. So, Josephine. There we go. Legally distinct. And I forgot to put... I put something here and I got rid of it. So now I got to put it back. What was that I did? Crafts Illusions? I believe that's what I did. Yes. Crafts Illusions. Josephine is a charming catkin bard who crafts illusions. All right. So with that, I'm going to find the button that plays me out. All right. Thanks for hanging out with me for while I made this. Bubble Machine, which is the music you're hearing, is by Drozerix. It's in the public domain, and you can get that from modarchive.org. All this stuff eventually finds its way over to my website, aaronbsmith.com. If it's not there, you will find links to where you can get it. That includes my social media, such as it is. You can email me at cogwheel@rmbsmith.com, and my Patreon is patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help me keep the lights on, along with other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Liv, Paul, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. Until next time, have fun.